gather round. It's Mega Podcast 2000.
Hey there, hi there, welcome to the show. It's Mega Podcast 2K, the hottest pod in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm here sitting with Dana. I am Seth. We're chilling. It's a beautiful day out. The dogs won. How do you feel about that?
I don't know if that was a win or a beat down, just brutal. You know, I don't even know. I wasn't a game. I stopped after the third quarter and it was like 48-7 or something like that.
It kind of felt like, are the dogs the bad guys? You know, when it got like, I mean, it was like 65-7.
It's atrocious is what it was. Like, it was bad.
I wanted to see how high it could go, though.
Oh, man. They almost scored 100 on them dudes. They only needs like 44 points.
If I had to hear Stetson Bennett. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate that name. That is the whitest name. And he's the fourth. You know? He's had like three white grandparents. Stetson Bennett. Ugh. God.
You're tired of the name.
The announcers, it's difficult, I think, when you are announcing for a game that's like a blowout to keep it interesting, you know, to find things to talk about. So they just kind of kept going on with the same story over and over. But whatever. I mean, shout out to them. They beat Ohio. That was a big one. They had big wins during the season. It just college football needs to figure out their I think they're expanding next year. But this can't keep happening because it's fucking boring. And
yeah.
It's just kind of, and it's sad. I mean, if you're, if you're a horny frog fan,
you're kind of embarrassed to go back to school right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, and then, like, the quarterbacks at the end, like Stetson Bennett and the other quarterback hugged. It's like, what could you possibly say to the quarterback who scored seven? One who threw like, I don't know, five touchdowns. I don't even fucking, or he had five touchdowns.
Ran I don't for fucking two know. Or something like that. It was just too much, man.
But yeah, go Georgia. Georgia's now some kind of dynasty looking like dynasty building. I think they're not going to be as good next year without that giant wide receiver and the quarterback. They're going to need some work.
So. I think they will because they lost all like about five or six players to the draft. Last year, whatever you want to say it. And they still won, you know, like when you lose that many people, especially defensive players to go to the NFL and you still win and they didn't lose a game this season. I think Kirby Smart can best say that they'll be back next year.
I don't know about that.
Why not?
They're losing their quarterback. Losing your quarterback.
Alabama lose a quarterback every year and they still all find a way to compete.
Not this year. I think.
Well, out of what? 7 year run,
right? I don't know. We'll see though. But I do think though that I mean their wide receiver was like the key player.
I mean, I get
his name, Bowers. I don't know the mega.
He's actually tied in, but
whatever. Are you sure he lines up like a wide receiver?
He plays in the slot. That's why he's a tight end. That's why he's so good. Like Kyle Pitt. That's why he's out of Florida. Everybody loved him because he can light out in the slot.
I mean, there you go. Well, that guy is ready for the NFL.
But regardless. Yeah, I mean. I think Georgia's going to be a powerhouse. Sustainability is not a problem there. I think they're going to be one of the top schools for a few years now. Like, we're going to be in the future, like, one of the top schools. And it goes to show you don't even have to have a top recruiting class because Texas A&M had the number one recruiting class and they had a losing season.
Yeah, but come on. One recruiting class is not going to help Texas A&M.
It's helped build Alabama as a top powerhouse. If that doesn't help, I mean, what do you mean?
Alabama consistently has a great recruiting class. Texas A&M hasn't been good since Johnny Manziel. That was like 8 years ago. They
just had a new coach, Jimbo Fisher, for like 2 years. I mean, and like you still got to give them some props. I mean, they didn't. It was a losing season, but when you try to get top tier talent and. I don't know if that's coaching or they just don't play, but Kirby Smart is still in the top powerhouse. They're like the top five, I think, was Texas A&M, Clemson, and Alabama, and those teams, and Ohio State. And those are usually the same teams that end up in the playoffs for like the past 4 years. So I think having top recruits does kind of matter, but I think coaching makes a big deal too.
Yeah, for sure.
And Kobe Smart being from, you know, playing there, coming under the Saban tree as defensive coordinator. I mean, this dude, Bloody Sunday or Bloody Tuesday, or as they called it, where they actually go full ham on practice, like that type of coaching. I mean, you can only say that sustainability is going to last right there, bro. And when you go tell these kids, like, hey, come to Georgia, we just won back to back. It hasn't been done since, like, you know.
100%. When you win, you're definitely. You're like, I think Georgia's going to have, like, probably the best recruiting class.
Even LSU still. Like, they didn't win, but they still had a good year. Like, they went, what, 9-2, 11-2? They still have a top recruiting class. Like, the quarterback from there is not no slouch. You know, people that play at LSU, they have top players, too. Like,
I never said they didn't.
No, I'm just saying these schools that, like, don't always, like, maybe like a short or two from making it all the time or being repetitive, you know, but playing down south in the SEC, that's a tough bracket. LSU is always going to be a top freaking school, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
Georgia, Alabama, and all, and Clemson is just, SEC is pretty just a, overall.
It's the premier conference.
Ooh, that's a good analogy.
They're just not a... Nothing's better because the other one was a Big Ten or whatever. It's Ohio, Michigan. It's like a joke. I mean, you play that they just play each other, and maybe Wisconsin's decent, and then you come play like a battle hardened team that's played five good teams in the year. It's like you see the difference, you know.
I mean, like
TCU versus Michigan. You know, that was a great game.
That was a great game.
So everybody was like, "Oh my God, TCU might actually be good," but you actually we have nothing to gauge it, you know. They just need to expand the playoffs.
No doubt.
We'll see. But it was I guess, fun. I don't know. it was kind of a boring. I'm happy, I guess, for the Georgia fans.
For the state of Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Go Georgia. Yay. Go dog. What do they say? Dogs on top.
Go dogs.
Go dogs.
I mean, you're an LSU guy, so I understand you're less enthusiastic about the win.
Yeah, well...
Yeah. I mean, you're a homer. You're a team. You're LSU. Why not? I'd be the same way.
I mean, I would be enthusiastic. I don't know. It was kind of like when you watch the World Cup, like when Argentina was up 2-0, I was worried that, like, if it wasn't going to be a good game, people were going to be, like, talking shit, being saying, oh, it's rigged and all this stuff, you know? I was like, this needs to be – I didn't want it exactly to be a good game because I wanted Argentina to win. But
that was a good game, though.
It ended up being an amazing game.
Like, one of the best games I've ever seen.
But it's just kind of, like, anticlimactic. To me, the national championship was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You know, no doubt. Like, Georgia, Ohio. That
was the best game. You know. Yeah.
It should have been. I mean, the money line was negative 13, which is fucking crazy. They really thought it was going to be that close. Vegas usually knows what's going on. I don't know, but good stuff,
Georgia. It was a good... Premier League game, too. Man City beat the hell out of Chelsea 3-0. And the only thing that sucked about it is my man Christian Pulisic went down. Hope he's good, his knee. But it was Man City looks, oh gosh, looks.
Haaland?
Yeah,
crucial. I don't know. I need to get into the EPL.
Oh, you know, you haven't been watching? Bro, it's been great. It's been great.
The pale moon. All right.
Did you just go over the list? Live during this transition.
I did. Well, I was trying to connect Man City's colors
the way you're looking.
With the pale blue eye.
Okay.
I was going to say, speaking of light blue, the pale blue eye on Netflix. Yes. Or it could be called the downfall of Christian Bale's career. Oh, or wow. The beginning of the end.
Damn, you're going hyperbolic about that shit, huh?
Well, okay, first off, you snoozed out on
damn,
it, right?
Damn, right. I mean, I didn't literally fall asleep, but I could have.
Yeah. No, it's a slug.
Yeah. I fought to stay up is one of those things.
This is on Netflix, guys. I mean, it's Christian Bale teams up, and he's playing himself. Christian Bale teams up with Harry Potter's own, I think his name's Harry Melling. He was the nerdy kid on Harry Potter. He was like chunky. He planks backwards at one point. They put a spell on him. But he plays Edgar Allan Poe. So it's Christian Bale, buddy cop, detective drama with Edgar Allan Poe. It's absurd. Why did he agree to this?
I don't know. I wish he wouldn't have either.
I enjoyed it because it was so bad. It was just like, why are you... Why did you agree to this, dude? This is like the worst shit I've ever seen.
It was,
bro. And it looks great. It like I'm telling you, ever since The Revenant, everybody knows how to shoot in the winter now. It's like they...
Oh, gosh. Leo, my guy, got his award for that. First, but
like,
Oscar,
didn't parts of it look like The Revenant?
No doubt.
Like, the wood?
I felt like Christian Bale looked like... Who played in The Revenant? That was his antagonist. That was his name. I can't... It's slipping my name. Bane. You know, who's the actor? Come on, give it to me.
Tom Hardy.
Thank you. Gosh.
I forgot that he was in it for a second.
He was the antagonist. Yeah. Killed his son. Actually, remember?
Yeah. My boy. Yeah. Killed my boy.
He didn't even, you know what? And thinking about that movie, Leo didn't even sound like Leo the whole movie. But the thing about Tom Hardy in that, he was badass too in that. Like the role he played was like just a sleazeball, like criminal, just trying to make it in the war, like by any means.
I'm trying. Why did he do it?
Because he was going to try to kill Leonardo DiCaprio, remember? He just said, just say something, wink at me. And Leo was like, I didn't wink. Remember, he didn't wink, and he tried to kill him. And then his son was trying to, like, save him, and then he ended up just fucking shanking his son out.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
You killed my boy. Mm-hmm. That's a great winter movie.
Grizzly scene?
Yeah.
It's probably, like, I don't know, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I would have gave him one for that, too.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
They're gonna give him one.
The movie's awesome.
Yeah, but
that's a great summer thriller.
Yeah, but you're right. They did learn how to shoot from The Revenant because this was kind of gave you that.
It looked just like. Very predictable movie to an extent. I will say, just watch it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. You would get some things off rip. Don't lie, right? In the first, like, you can tell. You're like, oh, this is.
Yeah. It was kind of like. Given Seven vibes, mm-hmm. or even Zodiac maybe vibes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Jack the Ripper, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. And it was cool, but moved really slow, and it just wasn't overall that interesting. Mm-mm. It just really wasn't that interesting.
Mm-mm.
I think that the whole thing that was supposed to be the hook is that the chemistry between Christian Bale and Edgar Allan Poe. But I think Christian Bale, because look, man, he does Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. Which he did a good job.
He did as Gore. He did.
But this is Christian Bale we're talking about, you know, top tier actor of our time. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like now he might be slipping. Ooh. His next movie better be good.
It's got to come back after this.
Because I think it was.
Who do you think did worse?
What's that?
Who do you think did worse? Glass Onion, where Edward Norton, because you know that's my guy.
Edward Norton did a great job.
He did. I mean, but
you're the only person who doesn't like Edward Norton in that role for some reason.
Yeah,
I thought he did a good job.
A good job. It needs to be a great job when it comes to Edward Norton. I'm sorry, man.
But
it needs
to be a great
job. You said it yourself. It was a good job.
I did read somewhere. Somebody was like, it felt like he was doing his character in The Italian Job.
Oh, yeah. You know? Whoever said that is actually, that's a good-ass analogy.
I was like, damn, he really was just...
But you agree, it was a good job. It wasn't American History X. It wasn't...
Different tone.
Well, I'm talking about as far as degree of acting, bro. Yeah. Not even, say, fuck writing. I'm just talking about his performance. Fight Club.
Yeah.
American History X. It wasn't that. It was good. Glass Onion was, you can say it was good. But if you say... If you're trying to talk about Edward Norton, he's not good. He's great, in my opinion. No, so when you're saying that, it was a good role. Okay, yeah, that's right. It was good.
Well, the movie was good, you know?
In totality, the movie was good.
It wasn't like
But I'm talking about individual, you know, like, I'm like, that's all I'm saying. Who did it better? You know, was Christian Bale on his A game or was Edward Norton on his A game?
I think Christian Bale was phoning it in this movie. There's like a scene towards the end where he's like... talking to this doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, where is your daughter? Like, he, like, does his full scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy is, like, just taking it. He's like, And you could kind of tell that maybe Christian Bale just, like, pulled that take, you know, was like, I'm going to try this. And, like, kind of scared the guy.
I just didn't like how he came off
and just felt
knowing
off.
Better things than the doctor in one scene. I was like, hold on, man. How did you get that? And how did this dude miss that?
Yeah.
Come on now. Like, I just thought there were just certain things about him. Like, okay, you can be Sherlock Holmes, but.
Yeah.
Like, don't miss something like that because you're already foreshadowing something, right? It's like you're giving it away.
Finish the movie.
I know. I'm going to. I was like 45 minutes left. I mean, dude, it was like 2:30 in the morning when I stopped it.
Skip the last 20 minutes.
I was like, now, if it was a really good movie, I would have finished that. I would have sat there and finished that last 45 minutes. But it was just so mundane and long. I was like, I can just pick this up tomorrow.
I feel like most Netflix shows and movies can be like that, though. They're just like, it's like there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but let's swipe it up. I mean, I'm going to swipe it. You want to?
I can swipe it. Yeah, I could. Yeah,
okay. It's getting a one for me.
I'm with you. I'm riding with you on that one. That's a skip. I mean, I wouldn't advise y'all watching it either, too. I'm going to finish it, but don't watch it. I mean, if you want to, you won't be bored out. The
only reason I think it's not a skip is because it's so bizarre. It's like, why would Christian Bale ever agree to do this movie? And, you know, it's like sometimes. You ever seen that movie Ravenous?
Yeah.
It was kind of like Ravenous. Yeah. Ravenous is cool, though.
I thought it was not bad. What do you give Ravenous? I think that's a three strike. That's what I'm saying. Ravenous is a three. Yeah. It's not bad.
That's a weird-ass movie worth a watch about cannibals. Go check that shit out. But yeah, Pale Blue Eye, go for it.
By all means.
Next up, I started Kindred. Did you finish Kindred?
But I'm not going to, you know.
Okay. You can swipe it, though, if you want. I think it's pretty...
I'll just wait until... I think we can go into it a little bit
more. Yeah, we're going to get into it, but I do think it's not a must-watch, but a watch right now.
I would say must-watch. Why? They're all out.
The only reason I say not must-watch is because there's nothing on right now. There's nothing to compete.
Well, that's why I say it's all out. That's why I say it's a must-watch. Yeah. Get it out of the way.
So right now is a good time to pick up on a random-ass show that's kind of like Quantum Leap. You know, it's like, it's weird.
It really is.
Or like Slaughterhouse 5 a little bit. It's an interesting concept. I think the execution is a little weird. Some of the, so basically in the show, this woman basically just all of a sudden will flash back and she's in like 1816 from 2016. And she is hanging out with her relative that also got zapped back but was stuck. And it's kind of like, you know, you got to figure out the family mystery to set everybody's timeline back and blah, blah, blah.
Shout out to my guy Ryan from True Blood. I ain't seen him since like forever.
Is that the white guy?
Mm-hmm. He plays Thomas Wellen.
I hate his fucking, I hate his outfit with the
that's what they dress like right now.
With the print shirt.
Yeah.
God. And then shout out to the, there's a supporting actor, the girl's kind of like boyfriend, love-ish interest, the white boy. Mm-hmm. Weirdest casting I've ever seen in my life.
His name is Makai Scott Stock.
Now, this kind of guy you cast to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. He's like the outlier of the show.
Yeah.
Funny, don't know where he fits in, kind of just, yeah.
But in this, he's just like a simp ass, like, he's just, and no disrespect to chunky people, but he just is like, so doughy, it just doesn't, I don't get it.
Like
and they even have him shirtless at one point. Yeah. It's like, why? Why'd y'all do that? And it's fine, you know, all bodies are beautiful, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, why'd y'all choose this guy? He's like the lamest fucking guy.
But shout out to Mallory Johnson, who plays Dana James. She's a like really good actress. I think she's playing the hell out of it.
She has to do a lot.
Yeah. She's carrying the show.
Yeah, she has to be super distraught.
She's up there with Quentin Bronson right now, is like leading the actress role in her series.
Right? Maybe. I don't know.
Who's doing it better than her and who's acting her?
Let me tell you the difference.
No, not between her and Ange. I'm not comparing them.
I got a good comparison. Okay. So Quinta, she acts and she writes.
Mm. Double.
This girl who plays Dana, your name, she acts and she acts like a writer in the show.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
She ain't really writing like
that.
No,
she's not. She's not.
Quinta's moving mountains out here.
She is. I'm not arguing that.
But, you know, this girl's good and she'll get some
stuff. I
just
think she's good. I just think she's a good actress.
The other thing is I just feel like the production value is a little low at times in Kindred.
You do?
Yeah.
I think for being in two locations for the most part, because it's only in one in her room and then going back to where spots, I feel like if you were to manage a set, that's the way to do it. Like, you know, manage your budget, keep it where you know, in two little things, and that's what you got to do to make it pop for me. And I think that she does a good job of being terrified of like just being like her facial expression is just like terror. Just like I don't want to go into scenes I don't want to go into scenes like and then how they always have that one medium in the show, like there's always that when you have a sitcom or a series, there's always a neighbor or someone that's like got to come through annoying. It's just like there's always that and then the person in this series, I just love how that's always like, it's like, did you hear that? You know, like the burps or
their cat too.
The vacation movie during Christmas. I can't remember, but they always have, they always have a neighbor. Yeah. There's always just that neighbor.
The nosy neighbor.
Yeah. And they have this in this one too.
This is a quiet neighborhood.
It's just, I will go further into it, but it has high ratings already on.
Does it?
Yeah, it's got 61 on Rotten, which is good because it's 7.4. And you know, IMDb, we roll with them and they have it high on that one. I didn't say the Christian Bale one because it has really low ratings.
Does it? Don't even worry. I mean, it's wiped it low.
This one's got, it's up there.
Well, you'll check it out. I'll probably be done with it next week. I'll swipe it up.
It's an FX show.
You don't want to swipe right now?
I'll wait.
Okay. FX usually brings it, you know? Next up, we got a YouTube show. Fuck That's Delicious. Action Bronson is bringing back his own show. He broke off with Vice.
I know. Why do you think he broke off with Vice?
They were whack and like trying to control things and he didn't like it. And I think he had money or has fuck you money.
Right.
And is like, all right. And he owns the name of Fuck That's Delicious.
What do you think about Vice as a show? Like,
production? Oh, it's gone down. Vice has gone downhill tremendously. It was the shit. Probably in 2014 was when it peaked. It got Vice TV, which was Viceland or whatever, which was dope. And then they just couldn't get content, couldn't get stuff to work. The best thing they had was Desus and Miro and Fuck That's Delicious.
I love that, and I love that neighbor, too. That was a really kind of catchy one. That they had. Was it? Was that comedian guy.
Jamal Maddox or something like that. Yeah, that show's crazy. They had some good stuff, but they just couldn't keep it up. And then it ended up just being, what was it? There's some like reality show or sitcom that just plays constantly on Vice now.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, and they just gave up on original content.
Because I feel like Fuck That Delicious was like, that's all it was Vice for a while. That's like, that was carrying it.
And then like one of the creators of Vice, I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive, check my facts on this, is it was a part of creating the Proud Boys.
Okay.
Yeah, so Vice kind of just went downhill. They were more fun to me when they were like just a website and a magazine, and they were just going find people who were on weird drugs like Crocodile.
Yeah, that's what, that's what, yeah, yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
I miss the old Vice when they used to go check out weird shit. Now it just got lame. But how is Fuck That's Delicious on YouTube? Because I remember the old
stuff. I mean, it's seen him develop, of course, from. Because, you know, the original was, you know, him and his homeboys, Alchemist, and then, you know, just traveling in different foods. But this episode, now that it's back, you know, he has this festival that he puts on. I think this is the second year he did it. And it's in Brooklyn, where he just literally cooks for the whole, you know, the whole area. Just anybody pulls up, I mean, you bring hash, and they brought hash, we're smoking hash out there. Yeah. I'm like, yo.
Oh, yeah.
But he had people from Rome, Italy, Albania, like that had their own move from, of course, their lands and come over to New York, and now they all have their own like 4 or 5 star restaurants that he, you know, he always frequents or brings up. And he made his own Albanian dish, you know, because he's like, of course, Albanian. And that's why he wanted to call like an international carnival. But it just reminded me of like 90 cookouts where you would just go. Have music, people are just cooking, vibing out, you know. But I like Action because he's down to earth, you know, 100. And he's like talking to the people, he's cooking and talking at the same time, you know. He was busy, you know, like he said, he did a show night before, wrestled the day, and then he had a show the next day. So, and then, you know, being a foodie like myself, you get to appreciate like his love for food, and then all the things the people he hangs out with, like they're all masters of their craft. He had some dude out there with their own olive oil, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like,
He has his own as well.
To work, and he was working from like, he's like, I work from eight. I was the last first person or last person to leave. And I had like one piss. Like, I just admire his work ethic,
yeah,
essentially. And he's into everything, like, yeah, kind of like me. So, like, you got to, he's just everywhere.
No, I'm 100. I love YouTube. Mm-hmm. I watch little 10 minute, 15 minute weird shits all the time. But it is nice when they have something that's, I'm sure it's well executed.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's definitely like, well executed. It's, yeah,
dope when they actually have like good content, mm-hmm, that's not like some dude who just like rips pictures from Lord of the Rings and stuff, yeah, like all the internet, and you know, tells you about Sauron, or I don't know. This would be cool to check out. I 100% am in. You gonna swipe it up?
Oh yeah, it's definitely a power three. The food look, oh my gosh, the thin Roma pizza this dude was making. I mean, like the food alone.
Yeah.
Like it was free, bro.
Like, it was free from.
Free from. Like, it makes me, like, hopefully, maybe a bucket list, I'll go to New York when he does it again for the third. But yeah, I feel like it's going to blow up. It's not going to be one of those things where it could turn into, like,
yeah,
Warped Tour or Woodstock, where he's like, he's going
to
do it.
He's going to have to,
it's
make
gonna be
people
small,
pay,
small, and then it's going to get big. Yeah, yeah. And you won't be able to walk up to him and be like, yo. Because, like, he literally, he's just on the grill making the sandwiches,
it's probably,
bro.
It's probably too late, you know.
Yeah. That. I'm hopefully next year, I'm not, it's still, like, small like it was. Yeah. But the line,
huge,
ridiculous.
What is, where does the, it's money just, go?
It was, well, it's free.
Yeah, but he's, oh, everything.
That's
free?
What I'm saying. No one's paying for it. He's just, it's just a cookout. Like literally, people walking up. Like,
damn,
you know, it's a line for food. There's all these, like, it's a vendor. It's like Warped Tour, but for food.
He really,
it's
is
like
a man.
It's like a concert, but with food vendors.
Yeah. Damn.
Imagine just walking up and trying all these different, yeah, cuisines from different countries,
yeah,
that people like made, so their way
just,
over here.
He just funds the whole thing.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's I'm and he said it's less production than the first one and it had way more people turn out.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, they just know.
And you just
know,
see him, you can see him being mad. It's funny because he's like, where the fuck? Like he's like setting everything up, you know, he's like the man, like he's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's so you get to see that side of him where, yeah, he's just kind of like
gets frustrated.
Yeah, he's like, you see it all. He's like, and he talks about it. He's
a
like
pressure cooker.
He's like, that's what you love about it. He's like, that's what I love about it. And speaking of pressure cooker, there is a new Netflix episode called The Pressure Cooker when it's about chefs, and it's another cooking show, but the chefs check the chefs. So it's not like Top Chef where another chef is checking your food. They're actually judging their own.
Yeah.
It's a nice twist to it.
Yeah.
Since you had said that. But yeah, if you guys, okay, are looking for a new foodie show, a little twist to it, Pressure Cooker. It's on,
I heard
Netflix.
That.
Just you threw it up and I
little,
had to get it out
two
there.
Two and one.
Yeah.
All right.
Had to catch that.
It really is. Shoo! All right. Next up, we have Chippendales, which is finished.
Your show.
Loved it. Loved it. I loved every bit of it. It is the perfect Hulu show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this show is not, I don't think it really deserves any real nominations for anything. It's just pure entertainment, a crazy fucking story.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Kumail Nanjiani. This is the first time I've ever kind of seen him like get lost in a role. You know, like I really, I know this sounds like real dramatic or whatever, but I remember him as a comedian from Silicon Valley, and then it was weird just seeing him in Eternals, because mm-hmm, I'm like, that's fucking Kumail from
Silicon
Valley.
I like the
Uber
one he did with Batista. That was funny.
I never watched that.
This is really,
it probably is good, though.
It, like, is. I liked it.
That's just a great little
combination.
Yeah. But this, like, he really plays, what's the guy's name? Damn it. Steve,
your show.
God damn it! What's his name? Research. Steve something. It's not his real name.
But, Gavin McClint is a guy part of Vice who used to is a Proud Boy guy. So
yeah,
I just want to get that
it's
out
real
for you. Yeah,
yeah. The, one of the co-creators of Vice, mm-hmm, created the Proud Boys.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Barrington, what's his name? Whatever. But he is amazing in the role. I just think he kills it,
mm-hmm,
and the character is just a pitiful small man who just wants to be seen, wants attention, and his creation kind of gets away from him, which, mm-hmm, is Chippendales. It kind of, it gets larger than life, and he wants to be seen as the he wants to be seen as quote unquote Mr. Chippendale, and he just doesn't have the charisma for it. And sometimes his mom says that like certain people aren't meant to get rich. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was the kind of guy
that was meant to get
rich. No, he couldn't handle it. And it is a great downfall. Check it out. Murray Bartlett, I believe is his name. He was in season one of White Lotus. He's the general manager, concierge, who's like kind of takes over White Lotus season one, just steals the show. He is also in it as well, and Juliette Lewis. Check it out. I'm going to give it 3 swipes. I thought it was great.
Damn.
I mean, it's just really good for what it is, you know? I think also, like, if you're a lady, maybe, you might really like this, because there's man ass all over this motherfucker. Chiseled man ass.
So did you like it?
Huh? The chiseled man ass?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Now that I'm in the gym, when I look at a chiseled man ass, I'm like, maybe I can get a chiseled man ass like that. That's how I look at a man's ass now. It's inspiring. So when I see a man's ass today, it inspires me. So I want to motivate y'all and encourage y'all to show off your asses, male, female, whatever, and inspire the world around you. All right? Show more cheeks. Okay?
Nice diatribe.
Thank you. Kaleidoscope. We're just going to go with a quick...
I'm going to have to say next.
Oh, yeah, because that like, next. Yeah, that...
Next.
You should. You know how you don't judge a book by its cover? Judge this book.
Yeah.
By its cover.
So you didn't even watch... You just watched the trailer, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. The trailer was enough.
I watched 2 episodes.
That's how you got to know to watch something.
So, okay, the concept of this show...
What is there for?
Is fucking... It's bullshit.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah.
And it made you want to watch it after watching the trailer?
No, well, not exactly. It was more the concept. It was a gimmick, and I just wanted to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Netflix shows you this show at random, and it's all color-coded. So the only episodes I saw were yellow and either violet or purple, whatever. I think it was violet. So... Every episode can be the finale, technically, and every episode can be the beginning or the middle, just depending on how Netflix randomizes and shows you it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, is that like I didn't give a fuck about any of it. You know, like the chemistry was terrible. The writing is horrible. Giancarlo Esposito.
He's like you're a series
guy. I'm just
sick
of him.
You are?
Well,
is he like in a video game too, like as a villain or something like that?
Call of Duty, I think.
Something, I don't even know.
Yeah, I think Call of Duty or Half-Life.
Something.
Or not. I don't know. Well, whatever. It's the episode. The reason I stopped watching is because the yellow episode, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a Army of the Dead. Remember they had the Army of the Dead movie? And then they made a movie about the lockpicker.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah, I remember that too.
It felt just like that. It was like... It was so, they both were like so Netflix and both about like a heist.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this just feels like weird. Like, it feels like I'm watching the same thing all over
again. It's like The Lock Guy. I watched that one.
Yeah,
so.
It was okay. Like that show, which was like very much lower mids.
It was just, yeah. It was just something to give you because you've seen him in, like you said, Army of the Dead. So you're
but this
like,
is what got me the most. Giancarlo Esposito is probably 70 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. Of course, they did this in Better Call Saul, but they didn't have to do it as drastically. They tried to age him down in episode Purple, and it's awful. And he has a wife in it that's beautiful and probably 34, 35. And every time they kissed, it was just like, ew. You know, it's like gross. And then he has a daughter, and it's like that would be your great granddaughter. Right. You know, like it just, I was like, and then he has like a white friend who always kind of pulls him back in. He looked like he had massive amounts of plastic surgery. It was like they put like some prosthetics on him to try to make him look younger. Horrible. We need to quit de-aging people. Like, just get another actor who looks like similar, relatively
yeah,
like him.
Yeah, doppelganger.
I would rather like use the mental gymnastics of like being like, yeah, that's the same person, than being like, yeah, that person, that 70-year-old man's 25.
Yeah.
You know, it's horrible. Like, I can't.
Oh,
that's
what that?
I stopped.
That's so crazy.
I didn't even finish that episode. It was bad. Yeah. Actually, I did finish that one. It's bad. It's definitely a skip. Save your fucking Your time. Time is everything. Yes. And save it. It's a piece of shit. It is what it is.
give me some ganja for real. You're going to need some.
Right?
Oh, gosh.
Now, I got an interesting one for you. Megan, the killer doll movie, the one who's trying to dethrone Chucky as the goated killer doll, and Slappy from Goosebumps, if you're about that life. Went to go see that yesterday in an empty theater. There was one other guy. It was so funny. We were the only people in there, and we're in the same row.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That'd have got up.
Well, like, we got the, we reserved them, you know? And then, like, we kind of had the, we were like 5 seats apart, but like, we're the only people in there, and we're in the same row. And there was a couple times, so this movie is about, of course, man versus artificial intelligence. It's funny. There's like an off-brand Furby doll, and there's like commercials and stuff. That's one of the funniest parts of the movie. I mean, there's some really fucking funny stuff, and then there's not. Like, there's some, a lot of lines that failed, at least for me. I think if you watch this in a packed theater, it'd be great. It really felt more like a comedy than a horror. At no point was I scared. Which is like, and that's not good because I'm a little bitch. When I saw Smile, I'm literally was like going as far back in my seat as possible. Like, oh my God, like, just make it stop. You know, like some of the intense scenes. Nothing even close to that. So they needed to amp up that. It wasn't scary enough. I counted it. Only 4 people die in the whole goddamn movie. Damn. 4 people. And they're not even gruesome. Like, literally, the deaths weren't even gruesome. Another trope they had that I just think needs to end is they did it in Jegsy, Michael Pena's character, the CEO of the tech company, just being like, and you know, Silicon Valley, harping back on that, where they're just like, I need my kombucha, you know? And they like start doing weird dances and they, hey, I hope you're not on Pornhub again, you know, like just saying like funny tech stuff. It's like, it's tired. It's not funny. Okay.
Like, damn.
Yeah. Like, and they got the guy, his name is Ronnie Chang. You would recognize him. He's a Asian actor. He was on The Daily Show recently and he has a really heavy accent.
Oh yeah.
He's actually really funny, but like half of his lines didn't land and it's just like, I'm just over the tech CEO.
Really?
Like, douchebag.
Yeah, he was in Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings or whatever I remember him from.
He was?
He was in there. He was also in Long Story Short, but I didn't watch that.
Me neither.
He's on The Daily Show, too.
Yeah, that's how I know him. And he's he does stand-up. He's funny, but it was just, I don't know. He's like, we're going to kick him in the dick. You know, like, just saying, like, everything is a line like that. Whatever. Megan, creepy as fuck.
PG-13 for Megan, a horror? That's weird.
Yeah, I wanted, it needed more. I felt like this was a Gen Z. No, this was like, it was targeted towards, I think, 16 to 23 year olds, you know? And there's even a scene in it where, like, if you watch the commercial, she's just like dancing in the hall, like all funny. If you watch it in the movie, like literally she just like does that out of nowhere. And then I realized, I was like, oh, they were just like trying to make like a clip for TikTok. Like they just did, they got the, you know, actress, whoever, I guess they got a really tiny woman to play Megan, but they get her to do this funny like dance and it kind of went viral. And it's like, oh, that's a new marketing tactic. Have like 9-10 seconds of something like interesting and funny and unexplained, like in your movie, and then like push it on TikTok, and like people will be like, what's that from? You know what I mean?
Right.
And that'll be the marketing. It was funny as fuck. And it was the song in it, I'm going to play at the end, which was also, so there's this group called the Scat Bros, and the song in Megan is called Walk the Night. And then in Chippendales, they have another song by the Scat Bros. So the Scat Bros are coming back. They're like kind of the knockoff YMCA, but they have a song. It's like, I think it's called Out at the Outpost or Down at the Outpost, but it's like, give your love to a cowboy man, whatever. Both are bangers. All right. So the Scat Bros are back. whatever. Hopefully they're getting paid. Hopefully they're still alive. But Megan, I don't know, could have been scarier. I definitely predicted how she was going to die whatever, be defeated. And, you know, I need more violence. I'm sorry. Like,
that's what I was thinking.
If I'm going to see a horror, I want to see violence.
Right.
So I'm going to give it
blood and all that.
I'm going to give it a power one just because it, there was some, it's worth a watch. Like when it comes out, like check it out.
It's at the Landmark.
Not to mention, every basic bitch in America is going to wear her outfit for Halloween.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yes, because it's like a cute little like doll outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Every basic girl, I mean, who's like kind of cute is going to fucking try to be Megan. Oh, my God. Yes, bro. 100. I'm Team Chucky to the death of me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
What else we have left? Oh, the Fableman.
Oh, yeah.
oh, I wanted to play this because so Dana, even though you ended up watching a bunch of stuff, at first I was and I was like, don't worry. Wait, I'm timing this. Yeah, here we go. This was me this week watching TV right here. Right back on their ass, yo. They done made me mad. I've been keeping calm, constantly keep making cash, yo. I've been getting bag after bag after bag. Yeah, that's been me watching TV. I'm doing the, what is it called? Sober January.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not playing video games. So just every day I come home and I crank out like an hour or two of something. Like I've been trying to watch all the Oscar shit.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that being said, The Fableman. I finally sat down and watched it because I heard good things. And this is Steven Spielberg's newest movie. And you might say, oh, Steven Spielberg. You know, what was his last movie? It was West Side Story. He's kind of not hacky at this point. He is one of the goats. But not many people have been going out their way for a Spielberg movie anymore like they used to. Mm-hmm. And when I found out this was actually, it's an autobiographical movie. It's about his childhood from being a young boy to 18 and his love for filmmaking. And I'm like, damn, I need to watch that. So I watched it, and it's fire. It's fucking amazing. If you like filmmaking, you know, not just movies, but like the process of making movies, it's awesome. You get to see him, and a lot of it's supposedly true. You know, it's based on him, and you get to see like the first time he ever like directs somebody, you know, as like a Boy Scout. You know, you get to see all the movies they'd make on like 16mm. You get to see how they used to chop up and edit. You know, they used to have to actually cut up shit, glue it, press it, you know, all this shit. Like, no sound. You know, you'd have to play a record player with the video.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just get to see the filmmaking process back then. And it was so different back then because it was so fucking difficult. So you really had to want to do it. You know, now you have a fucking phone that can shoot in 4K, 60 frames per second. So anybody can make anything, which is good. Don't get me wrong. But you get to see like this kid's passion, you know, since he was a child, like since he saw the greatest Showman or whatever it is, some old ass movie. Like that's where the obsession began. And I just think it's fucking it's worth a watch if you have ever seen Jaws, if you've ever seen Jurassic Park, or you know what I mean, or his Gremlins, which he produced. I'm just joking on that one. Minority Report, you know, whatever. What's his other one? Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like, there's kind of like little glimpses at that, little homages to his own shit. So I think just. If you really like movies and you have ever watched a Steven Spielberg movie, you should check this out. And then I think Michelle Williams, she plays his mom.
Shout out Michelle Williams.
She kills classic. It.
Dawson Creek, Shutter Island.
What? She was in Dawson's Creek?
I'm going
to... I'm not talking Dawson's to you no Creek. More.
I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. Come on, man. Me and my little brother, we... That was the show? We watched that one, bro. I mean,
that's what she was on.
I mean,
that's where she came up.
I mean, yeah, she, I mean, I don't think she came up, but she was one of like the new people that eventually came in. It wasn't, she wasn't the original, but she's, yeah, like I'll say by the bell, you went from middle school to high school and to college year. Nah, but Michelle used to date Pacey, inside the
Dawson's Creek. Pacey is,
that's his name inside.
Who was the guy? Who is that actor? Is it that guy
from
with
Mighty
like
Duck?
Names?
I can't remember.
I don't fucking know.
Oh my gosh, you were horrible.
I didn't watch.
Anyways, I'm gonna give you a little side note. Even though we're talking about
Spielberg. Oh, Vanderbee.
No.
Was he in that though? No. James Vanderbee.
James Vanderbee was the main actor. Katie Holmes and all of them.
Yes.
Spielberg is producing along with Quincy Jones and Oprah Winfrey, The Color Purple in 2023. Just want to get that out there.
Hell yeah, he's a powerhouse. But anyway, Michelle Williams, if she gets nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, I think she should win. I mean, it's the best.
James Vanderbeek, Joshua Jackson, Katie Holmes, Michelle Williams, all like heavy hitters right off rip.
Yeah, well, I have never seen one episode of Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, well, you're lame.
I thought Dawson's Creek was lame.
No, it's not, man. It's just high quality acting in there.
It always seemed boring to me.
I mean,
and they're too clean cut.
It was clean cut, but I mean, it was on all the time.
Shout out James Vanderbee.
It's got an 82% light.
Law of Attraction, wasn't he in that movie?
Yeah.
It's
not your life.
Okay, The Fableman, though. Okay, weird things about it. Mm-hmm. Seth Rogen plays an interesting character. His like uncle, not uncle, his dad's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Weird casting. I didn't know how I felt about that. The boy in it is great. I think he's going to be a star. I don't know his name, but whoever plays young Sammy, who's supposed to be Steven Spielberg,
mm-hmm.
he was great.
He also did Schindler's List.
Yeah, Schindler's List. He loves the World War II shit.
Mm-hmm.
But check it out. There is the anti-Semitism stuff. It just seems like it's so weird how much all this Jewish stuff is happening in the zeitgeist right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, cause when he goes to school, they call him Bagelman cause he goes to California and there's like no Jews out there yet. So it's all these Christian motherfuckers and make fun of him for being Jewish, which is just so weird
crazy.
To me.
Yeah. I didn't know he had parts of Catch Me If You Can, Spielberg. Catch Me If You Can's up here.
He directed that?
I'm thinking producing because all of his work is like, you know.
But with all that being said, my favorite part is a cameo in it.
He's in Indiana Jones 5, bro.
Yeah,
2023.
It's coming out this year.
Hold on.
Let me just say this one last piece. It has a great cameo in it that was fucking awesome. That I think is worth the watch. If you also like film and weird film, check it out. I think The Fableman, I think it's a sweet three swiper. It, to me right now, I think Tar could win Best Picture.
Mm.
My pick is Everything Everywhere All at Once. And then, The Fableman. I think it's the best three movies I've seen this year.
The only box office is at 15.4 mil.
It did horrible.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. Like, the trailer looks terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't represent.
I mean, it's got high
film.
Ratings, though, regardless of box office. So.
It's just a really good drama. Mm-hmm. And, like, his parental, what he grew up with, was very complicated. Oh, also, there's, like, this really old Jewish man who plays his uncle when he's, like, young. And I don't know who that guy is. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. That scene was fucking awesome. I don't know who that guy is. He got some ancient actors in that movie. But it's definitely worth a watch, but it's a drama, you know? It's moved slow, but it is what it is. All right. That rounds out our list.
Hell yeah.
Or unless
well, round out your list. Because I was busy working on schoolwork. Sorry, guys.
What do you mean, our list for the episode? The episode, the list.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, well, yeah, no. It's like you did a good job. That was your list. That was a good job.
Yeah, but you watched The Pale Blue Eye, kind
of. Yeah, but it was like Kendrick. 3/4 of the way. But I didn't want it. You didn't watch it all the way. So I know, but these
Fuck
were mostly your
delicious.
Shows. Those are mostly, but yeah, but that was one really.
We both decided
those
to skip
were really good too.
It was a team effort.
It was no, definitely team effort, but you did a good job of watching, like you said.
You watched Dawson's Creek? Come on. Come on, man.
Oh, gosh. I think you would like Dawson's Creek. I'm sorry. I think you would. Give it a chance.
I don't even know what it's about.
I think you'll like it.
What is it about?
Why do you want me to give it away? Because if I tell you, you're not going to watch it.
Okay, I'll...
I mean, I know you probably won't watch it anyway, but I think you should watch it.
Heard.
I think it's a good watch.
Okay, I'll check out Dawson's Creek.
I mean, ask anybody else. Don't take my advice for it. Ask other people about it. Just get it. See what other people think about it when you go to work. Like, hey, what do you think about Dawson's Creek? If they don't like it, they don't like it. Then, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I think it's a pretty good series, you know?
Okay.
I just think it is. It's got love in there, you know what I mean? It's got a lot of there. It's crushed in there. It's like, it's good. I think it's pretty good.
I don't want to wait.
I mean, the track.
That is a banger. What? One more thing, though. Football. Who are y'all playing first round?
We got a bye. What you talking about? What?
Stop. So, but y'all are either going to play Dallas or
Tampa Bay, I think.
Y'all got NFC, I think y'all have a good run.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good. I got the hat on. We're good.
AFC is going to be the difficult
side. We straight. I did watch this one show. It's on Hulu, but it's only doing like one episode. But it's like, I don't know if you saw the previews, but like all the celebrities are doing like this 10-day like Marine challenge.
Wait, no, that's on that. Hulu, right?
Yeah. Well, it's only one episode out, and it's got like Montel Jordan.
Yeah.
This is how we. It's got the younger sister from Seventh Heaven. I don't even know her name.
I've seen the trailer. They're like jumping out.
It's actually pretty. Mike Piazza from the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Like they got a well-rounded cast of people. Like you know that you're just like. But I watched the first episode. Dwight Howard. The stuff they have to do is like kind of like. Montel Jordan's already off the show. He broke his thumb.
Damn! Really.
Bro, the first episode, like they have to like fight one of the instructors and shit.
And he broke his thumb. Come on.
He like the
this threat. Isn't how you do it.
The instructor like threw him down like a judo throw and shit. Like you know, so all these guys
and
like actors.
Like 50.
Yeah, no, yeah. All these they want to come and prove themselves. That's the whole point. Like my Piazza, his whole diatribe was like, you know, you want to know.
Douche.
He's like, once you leave, like these top athletes, like they want to feel like. I mean, what's the fucking one doctor? Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves the first day. He's out. Done.
Dr. Drew.
All these dudes, most of the guys, they want to test their strength because, you know, they're like, when you get to a certain age, like most of them were 40, 50, you know, they're at the top of their prime, like Mike Piazza and all these people. So they're like, I wanted to come see what I, you know. Yeah,
what I'm made of.
What still. I'm made of. So most of these people are all wanted, like Spice Girl.
Scary Spice?
Yeah, she's like, I can't remember what
is that her name?
Yeah, I think so.
She's fine.
She was in an abusive 10-year relationship, so she's like it's
scary,
a lot of
scary.
Yeah, it's like
have
all
you seen
the,
her daughter?
No.
Sheesh.
Is it a panty dropper? I knew it. Yeah, I knew it. You fucking did it for your homeboy who said he loves the fucking. He's gonna listen to the pot and be like, Seth did that for me.
Whoopsie.
You know how you went on your stint with This Is Little Pimp. I think that is the new now.
Little Pimp.
I think this is the Slim Biscuit has got to be the new Little Pimp plug now. Yeah. Hell yeah. Right
Hell yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but I think you'll like that show. You should probably watch that one too because it's just like all your favorite Hulu, celebs like. That you're like, you know, you're like, damn, what happened to him? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and the chick from Seventh Heaven, she's like, she's just mad that all of her contemporaries left her in the dust. She says it. She's just like, you know, I came to the show to figure out, you know. She just sucks. Well, she's like, all
where,
your
where all my friends
went. Jessica Biel, you know, she went to go do greater things. The dude, her brother and then went to do Supernaturals.
I served that guy. What's
you did?
Fucker's name?
I don't know his name.
Oh, yeah. Side note, I forgot to tell everybody.
Yeah, what's going on?
That,
what'd you do?
Got
who'd
on
you
my
serve?
Plane.
Yeah. Oh, you playing?
To go to Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. Who'd you run into?
Lil Boosie. First seat.
Wow. Really? He's not flying in first class?
He was first class.
Oh, okay.
But on a tiny little Lafayette plane.
Got you.
And so he looked like shit. And then I sit down, and then the guy across is like, you know, country white guy with his kid. And he's like, we saw little Boosie. Yeah, I was like, you saw him too? He's like, yeah. He's like, I think I pissed him off. I took a picture of him. I'm like, God, you fucking
idiot. Why would you do that?
You fucking moron.
It's on a plane, bro. like, hey, let me get you real quick.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, bro.
Yeah. And then I got off the plane and randomly, I swear I wasn't following because I went to go pee. I'm walking out and Boosie's like, oh, he was like waiting or something for his car to pick him up. Mm-hmm. And my dad was there too. And little Boosie's walking out and I look at his shoes and they're all dirty. They were like speeders. And I was like, and they're like some Louis V, mm-hmm. like yellow and white. I've seen the red seen and white before, ones. Yeah. Yeah, they look like sneakers. Mm-hmm. And they were dirty.
That's weird.
I was like, and then he got into Acura.
Mm-hmm.
It was half the door was like scraped. I was like, Boosie, what the fuck? Like, optics, man. Optics. You're better than
I like you're like, Boosie, what the fuck, bro? Like,
you're better
it's
than
like,
that.
Remember when the time Bow Wow got called out for flying first class and then someone caught him in coach? You're like, bro, yeah. They took the picture of him. Yeah. Like, he's.
Yeah, they're going to get like, you.
You can't do that shit no more, no, bro. You no. can't. You can't cap. Not in 2023 or 2022 for that. They'll
and
call
then
you
I'm
out.
I'm walking out, too, and I'm like, uh-huh. My dad's like waiting outside his car, mm-hmm. and he's in front of the Audi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's little Boosie. And my dad's like, who?
I was going to say, did your dad know a little Boosie?
He should. I mean, I don't know. Everybody in Lafayette, Louisiana knows a little okay. Boosie. Except for my dad. But anyway, we're going out on... What is it called? Walk the Night by the Scat Bro.
Mm-hmm. Turn it up. Can't even hear it. Oh, damn. That was a switch. Hold on. Was that?
That must
hold
have...
on. I was like, what was that? Was that? Is it, is that did they was... come in light and then come in hard? On? What happened?
That's because when I was recording, that was what I was like listening to before.
Like, okay.
Before you came in.
Okay. It's like, what is that on?
That was, the other song was this guy, Alex G.
Okay.
It's like guitar music. It's kind of slow.
Did it just switched up? Like, what did we do?
Got him. Like, gotcha.
For real. Like, got me.
What if we do, like, a really slow guitar? You know?
That's got, like, some... I like the guitar sound.
Yo, it's... This song's fire. But, yeah. Like... So, Megan goes on, like, a killing spree, quote-unquote. But it ends too soon. To me, she should have just kept killing to this song. Mm-hmm. How fire. It's like... Like John Wick style. What's that? Malignant. Remember that movie?
Oh yeah,
remember
yeah.
Remember when
yeah.
she goes off oh, in yeah. the precinct?
Mm-hmm.
That's like.
Yeah, she went crazy in the precinct.
Like they should.
I forgot about that.
That was like the scene.
Yeah. totally forgot all of that. You're right. That was crazy.
Like Megan should have gone off like that. Like just like you know, turn into John Wick for like. Creeper got mad and angry eyes. One look from him. Can paralyze, resist at any time or place. Creeper, they'll slap right across your face. Yeah. 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 He said, look out.
Walk the night. I like the hook.
It's fire, right? You can just tell they're like a YMCA. Right
oh, now. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
That was good, man. That was a good show. Yeah. Thanks for watching all that shit, man. You know your boy was tied up with academics.
Look out, y'all. This Sunday, The Last of Us drops based on one of my favorite video games ever.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro Pascal's in it.
Oh, I like that. I saw that preview. Yeah. Jack Ryan's out, I think, out now on Prime 2. If y'all
Jack
know.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Not Reacher, Ryan.
Isn't it the one know. With the dude from
The Office?
Yeah, isn't it Jack?
That's Ryan.
Yeah.
That's Ryan. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't opened the Amazon Prime app.
I haven't been in a while either.
In a long time. I stay on
Netflix and Showtime.
Netflix and Hulu.
Well, Showtime. You had a lot of Showtime last week.
Yeah, I had the Tar and
well, one of the shows Sadness. You had watched was on Showtime. You just mentioned again too. I forgot today when I was looking at it.
Was it The Fableman?
I can't remember.
I feel like Showtime's buying up all the Oscar movies.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, Eagles.
I was track.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm predicting a Bills-Eagles.
Ooh, that'd be fire.
Could you imagine those two fan bases?
That's two really ravished fan bases.
Yeah, like, I just think it'd be sick.
Yeah. I mean, the last time Philly won the Super Bowl, man, they tore down the streets, man. They were out there jumping on cop cars and things, you know?
Damn right. They got to oil up the fucking poles and shit. Yeah, so they can't climb them. Yeah, I'm hoping the Bills, and I am glad that that player.
Darmon Hammond, yeah, hell yeah, it's good news.
He's like talking, because that was just.
Hopefully KD gets hurt, gets better. Now that's my favorite player, man. He sprained his MCL. I'm mad about that shit.
Damn.
Thank you, Jimmy Butler, asshole.
We love you, Jimmy Butler. All right, see you next week. Bye.